This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLachlan. Jay McLachlan is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLachlan and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLachlan stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLachlan's
local and loyal programming.
Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLachlan's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern, and the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLachlan, and so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLachlan is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLachlan. Thanks so much.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. This 30-minute podcast features a new author interviewed by me every single day, 365 days a year, for about 30 minutes. I am also the publisher for Zibby Books, which publishes 12 books a year in fiction and memoir. Our books are already out now. You can check it out on zibbybooks.com. And we have a magazine called Zibby Mag, where we have lots of wonderful essays and lifestyle features. That's at zibbymag.com. We have classes at zibbyclasses.com. And I recently opened a bookstore in LA called Zibby's Bookshop at 1113 Montana Avenue at 11th Street in Santa Monica. I hope that you are able to enjoy some of our other offerings, but this here podcast is the basis of all of it and started in 2018. And no matter what I do, this is basically my favorite thing. Enjoy. Sarah Mandel is the author of Little Earthquakes, a memoir, which I absolutely loved and actually have become sort of Instagram friends and buddies and in-person friends too with Sarah since reading her book and going to the launch of it at Shakespeare in New York and then having her come to this author luncheon I hosted. And I just have so much respect for her, and I know she's still going through a hard time health-wise, and so I'm sending her all the amazing vibes that there are in the world, and I'm just forever in her corner, and I hope that you all enjoy our conversation. Sarah is a licensed clinical psychologist based in New York City. She received her doctorate, a PsyD, from Rutgers University, and a BA in studio art from Bard College. She lives in Manhattan with her husband and two daughters. Welcome, Sarah. Thanks so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss Little Earthquakes, a memoir.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Your story was so powerful. As you know, I've, been such a fan, and
you know, I just, my heart goes out to you so much for everything you went through and that you wrote about it and did, you know, like there's just so much here all mixed up and it's a beautiful story anyway. So thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Sibby. And thank you for coming to my launch last week. That just meant the world to me that you showed up. You've been such a supporter of the book and I just, it really is such an honor. And, you know, when I brought this thing out into the world, I just hoped that it would resonate with people, and the fact that it's resonated with you has been really, wow. It's been really special for me. So thank you.
Well, I was like kind of mortified by my kids' behavior. I love to bring them to book events at night when I know they're around, but I don't know. It was one of those nights and I was just like, please, just please, both of you, come on. Anyway, so I couldn't stay.
I think we've all been there.
Not stay as long as I wanted to. But I'm like, you know what? We're just not going to do this. So anyway.
That's okay. Okay. We get it. We're all mothers. We get it.
Okay. So please tell listeners a little about what your memoir is about and when you decided that the journey you had gone through, I shouldn't use the word journey, the experiences you'd gone through, that you would write about it as a memoir. Like, when did it take book shape in your head versus just life shape? So all of that.
Okay. That's a lot. I'll try and bring it down. So the book is about when I was 36 years old and I was working in my practice as a clinical psychologist, and I was pregnant with my second child, Sienna, who is healthy and spunky and doing great. And I found a lump in my breast, assumed both me and my OBGYN assumed that it was a milk duct that was clogged. And I went to the doctor to get it checked out and maybe drained to help reduce any complications with breastfeeding after the birth. Of course, this lump was not related to breastfeeding or a duct issue. It was breast cancer. And I found out several hours before giving birth to Sienna that this was stage 4 breast cancer, metastatic breast cancer, and it was in my back. And it was an absolutely terrifying, traumatic experience. I was bringing life into the world and didn't know if I was going to be around to raise this baby and take care of my now 9-year-old. But then after 3 months of treatment, I got another PET scan and the PET scan came back clean. And there was no evidence of disease, which is called NED. I was considered a super responder. This is like an almost unheard of response to treatment. And it was as if I'd been given this new opportunity to live. And everyone was celebrating around me and crying with joy and relief. And I felt nothing. I felt nothing. I felt guilt because I felt nothing. Because here there were so many other women with this disease who would just do anything to get this kind of response. And I felt nothing. Like, what a betrayal to these women. But I really was so traumatized and in this dissociated state that I was separate from my body. I didn't feel like I was in the room when I was hearing this news from my oncologist. And this kind of state of dissociation stayed with me for months. And I didn't really get insight into this process that was going on for me until one day I was lying in bed and I was just staring up at the ceiling for hours and hours and not thinking, not feeling, not sensing anything, feeling like I had completely lost my sense of self. And I realized, oh my God, I'm really traumatized. And this is what I did for a living, was working with patients who had significant traumas. And I thought, well, maybe I can apply the treatment that I've worked on with my patients to myself. And it's this type of narrative therapy where you go back and it's kind of like an archaeological dig. You like try to piece together all of the memories of the traumatic event and face the most, you know, gruesome, terrifying details and create a narrative with a beginning, middle, and end. And you read it and you read it aloud and you kind of habituate to it. It's a form of exposure. And I thought, okay, maybe I need to do this for myself. So sort of like out of desperation to wake myself up from this state of complete numbness and being in a fog, I started to write. And it just, the words just tumbled out onto the page. And very soon I had this trauma narrative that I had written, but I realized I wasn't fully healed yet from the trauma and that I had more to write. And I grappled with what to do with that. And I remember sitting on my terrace with my husband and saying, like, what do I do now? Like, I'm done with the trauma narrative, but I still feel like there's more for me to do. So I wrote a chapter about that. and then I started writing in the present about the unfolding of, you know, living with a chronic illness, but also it became a story about trauma recovery and about finding my new self again, about finding trust in my body again, things that had been annihilated and had to be rebuilt over time and over new experiences. And now, you know, I have this book that, you know, started as a true experiment in self-healing that was not meant to be read by others. But once I got to 200 pages and like read the book, I thought, you know what, this may be a book. This may be a book for other people. And I think it really is at its like most basic. It's a book about how we can manage the inherent uncertainty of being humans and grappling with the unknown and navigating life circumstances that come our way that we had no preparation for, that come out of the blue. Does that answer your question?
Yes. This is a show for you. There's no right or wrong answer. It's just a chance for you to talk about your book and all of that. So yes, it does. It's funny because it explains some of the more sort of, it's not self-referential, but like the meta chapters where you're talking about writing, you know. So it makes a lot of sense. You know, it's interesting because in memoir, you still have like a protagonist and characters. It's just yourself and your family, right? So I feel like the character of your husband in particular was so well drawn. And I actually, it brought tears to my eyes in the beginning when you had called him to tell him about your diagnosis, and he had been on his way to Arizona, and without even asking, he just got right on another flight and headed right home. I don't know, it's still the
yep.
Just...
yep.
So tell me a little bit more about him, about how this has like affected both the book, like having this be public, I guess, in particular, mm-hmm. and how this whole thing has affected a marriage, because that's another thing, not to delve into your complete private life. You don't have to go into the details, but you know what I mean? Just like this, he's a character too. I sort of wanted a PS on him and you together, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've really tried to thank him and also honor him, because this book is really our story. So I feel like it's our book. And you know, he's a lot more private than I am. And he really gave me the permission to write about our story. And that's a big deal. I mean, there's some like very poignant and romantic and beautiful vignettes of our relationship in the book. But there's also, you know, there's some arguments. it can get a little testy. And that's marriage. I mean, that's the reality of being in a relationship. But I think he's been incredibly generous in terms of letting me put our relationship out there for the benefit of other couples and other people who are navigating a trauma in their relationship, because it's really hard. And I mean, marriage is hard no matter what, but you throw a trauma into a marriage and it gets that much more difficult. He's been great. He's super excited about the book and giddy. And he used to work in publishing way back when. So this is all really fun for him to see that I'm writing a book. And for years, he had told me, like, after I wrote my dissertation and grad school, he's like, you've got to get this published. And you need to write a book. And so this is kind of his dream come true that I have a book now that's out. But yeah, it is complicated. It is complicated. And we've talked about, like, you know, what is it like for people to know these intimate details of our lives? And for me as a psychologist, this is a huge shift because with my patients, sometimes I would disclose a little bit more depending on the client, but in general, I was really boundaried, and I'm not boundaried in this book. I mean, you know a lot about me, Zibby. And so, yeah, but I think given what I can do now, you know, I'm not seeing my patients, unfortunately, in my practice anymore. This is my way to really reach people. And I think being authentic and letting it all be out there is really a way to connect with people on a human level and, you know, validate that what we're going through is human, and it's, you're not crazy for having these thoughts or feelings or experiences, and you're not alone. Like, this is something we know about. There's science here. Mm-hmm. And I think that can really help in the healing process.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You know, this whole notion of being boundaried, I understand the value as a therapist. You know, that's like part of the contract. You know, it's not about your sharing all the time. You know, otherwise it would just be friendship, honestly. But,
right.
You know, my husband, Kyle, like, he... Like, I used to be very much like, well, this is this person's role and this is my role. And like, no, I'm not supposed to ask so-and-so about their weekend. Like, they're this or, you know what I mean? Like, and he was just like, what are you talking about? Like, that they're, everybody's just like a person. And I'm like, no, but we're all in these roles and, you know, you're not supposed to do it. And he's like, yeah, I don't buy that at all. So I've actually like completely moved over to his interpretation and, you know, feeling like, a lot of the artificial boundaries don't serve a purpose.
Yeah.
You know, they just keep us not connecting. But anyway, it sounds obvious, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is what you do. You talk to people. And I mean, it would not be much fun if there were boundaries everywhere, because you wouldn't really get anywhere with
That's true.
People.
That would be very frustrating.
Yeah.
In terms of, and we won't talk much about this, but, you know, there was a PS at the end of the book where things end up going in a slightly different direction than the way we're expecting as the reader. Did you consider not even adding the afterword? Because I felt like that must have been a big debate of whether or not to include it.
For sure. I did consider not adding it. I mean, I was intending to send out the book before that PS happened in my life, but then it just seemed so important and so in keeping with the message of the book that we can manage these really difficult life circumstances and get through them. And I didn't want to shy away from that. Mm-hmm. It felt real and important. And, you know, I wanted to be me. I wanted to be fully me and have the lessons really speak for themselves with that ending piece.
Well, I'm glad, you know, the funny thing about memoir, and somebody was just saying this, someone far, far wiser than me. I can't remember who it was. Maybe Tara Westover, who I just saw speak. But anyway, saying that, like, with a memoir, like, it's never over. How can you ever really be done when, like, things continue to unspool in front of you all the time? But you have to, like, it's that curation of experience and that has all the power in it. So anyway, but complicated nonetheless.
Yeah.
Did you find you turn to other memoirs of people sort of who've gotten through trauma or cancer treatment or other things, or do you eat that type of stuff up, or is that not your genre, or how do you feel about it?
I didn't while I was writing because I was worried that I would be influenced. When I was a little girl, I went to the beach with my parents and there was a British family and the little girl was talking about a spade and hapeo, and I came back and I was speaking in a British accent. So I just didn't want to risk doing that in my writing. So I steered clear of memoirs when I was writing my memoir. But after I finished my memoir, I went nuts reading memoirs. And Suleika Jawad, I'm saying her name correctly, her Between Two Kingdoms was the first memoir that I read, which I thought was exquisite. And then I went into a whole big Melissa Phoebos obsession, and I love her writing. And Rebecca Solnit. I read a lot of psychology-based texts still, so I'm reading, like, existential psychotherapy. I do still consider myself like a student, and I think reading is so spectacular because you're just always in a student role and always learning. So it's really fun to read all sorts of different things. I just picked up The Power Broker yesterday, but I'm scared to start it because it's so big and I don't want to miss, like, all the smaller books while I'm reading it. But I'm really excited about that because I watched Turn Every Page, the documentary, which was so amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. But
I know I keep some books on this little library cart right outside my office here. And I had the new Abraham Verghese, The Covenant of Water, Verghese, and then also John Irving's The Last Chairlift. And between the two of them, that's like 1,500 pages. So I was like, you could read like 6 books.
Right.
Or 2 books. You know, how many books could you read? Or I don't know. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's something to be said for the deep dive.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
At the beginning of the book, by the way, you talked about someone called Hannah, who was like a model, sort of very cool person. Mm-hmm. And in my head, I was wondering because, and I'm sure it's not the same, but I was like convinced this was like a really good friend of mine who was going through treatment. I was like, I should just send her a picture of my friend and see if that's who it was.
Who knows? It's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I changed her name. She was absolutely stunning on the outside and on the inside, and just beamed positivity. And she really just represented hope to me. And, you know, I was just so happy to have a visual of that something to hold on to, that there was something beyond the crisis days that looked luminous, that mm-hmm. looked healthy, that looked happy. Because in the crisis days, it's terror and it's just putting one foot in front of the other. But she gave me kind of a guidepost to work towards. And I've never seen her again. I don't know where she is or if I'll ever hear from her. But wow, what a powerful moment to be able to find somebody who can really ground you and how you want to go about this challenging life experience.
It's great to have role models in the weeds.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't look as cool as her, but I could smile.
Oh my gosh. Well, do you have any advice for either people trying to write memoir about a painful thing or, well, yeah, why don't we do that? I know you wrote it mostly at first for yourself, but still, like, what pieces of advice to share?
Well, as a psychologist, I can't help but advise being ready. Like there's a kind of readiness, I think, that's important when you start to write about your trauma so that it doesn't overwhelm you and become, you know, really triggering and debilitating in itself, the writing. So those are skills that you can learn in therapy or, you know, I talk about at the final portion of my book about ways to work on like learning about your emotion states, learning about trauma and its symptoms. So you're not kind of mystified by what's going on and you can compassionately say, okay, oh, this is going on for me right now. That's okay. This is the trauma. I can let it in. Mm-hmm. I don't have to fight it. I don't have to think, oh my God, you know, I'm really weird. And this is, you know, this has to stop right now. Let it, you know, come and let it pass. You can let it in and then let it go. Once you feel that sense of readiness and maybe, you know, with a therapist on the side or a therapist working with you directly, you can start to write about your past. And, you know, how we do it in narrative therapy is you just write down kind of the chapter headings of, you know, what were the most kind of salient parts of the trauma. And then you just add a little bit more text underneath, kind of like a paragraph. And then you go into the outline and flush it out and really look for the sensory, emotional thinking patterns that were going on for you in those moments and bring it to life, because a lot of those experiences have been muted because mm-hmm. of that dissociation that is totally adaptive mm-hmm. that kicks in when you're really, really scared. Mm-hmm. But you can find it. You can find it. And when you start writing, it starts to open up that part of the brain that has kind of shut down those memories. And you can just get this kind of floodgate of information that pours out of you, which is what happened with me too. But to be gentle with yourself and to know when you need to stop and take breaks and to really lean on a professional if you need help doing this work, because it can be a lot.
Yeah.
It can be a lot.
Wow. Sarah, thank you for sharing all of your experience. I'm really rooting for you on so many levels right now. So
thank you.
Congratulations. Hang in there. And yeah, thank you for your book.
Thank you so much, Zibby. Such a pleasure.
You too. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Mom Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.